live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
For now, looks like rain could be coming in at any moment, but hope y'all are having a good day today. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, and we are brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the events coming to the new season, the season that dreams are made of at MSCOpus.org. Lots of great stuff, as always, on there. Check that out. All right, you can call us 693-1150. You can text us 979-229-1939. And we've got a lot of things you want to hit on today.
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Yeah, just we're going to be all over the map. But if you want to hear something in particular, you've got a take, you've got an opinion, you've got a question you want us to answer, hit us up, 229-1939. A few things we're going to get to. We're going to be joined for the first time in a while by Sam Kahn later on.
Wow.
Going to tell us what's happening, what's the scoop. He spent like a week in Arkansas, so we're going to see what's going on with the Razorbacks. Not like a week.
But didn't he spend some time in Oklahoma too, I think?
Yeah, he's been all over the place.
So he was in Tulsa.
We'll get the latest on him. The new basketball players have numbers, and we're going to ask later on what's the importance of a number. Do you care? Do people pay attention?
Yeah, I lost
that kind of stuff.
What do you mean the basketball players?
The new basketball players. The recruits. They have numbers.
Oh, okay.
So we'll see if y'all care about that later on.
Wow, okay.
And a few different things. But first, happy Cinco de Mayo, Cease.
Yeah.
Famous 1862 Battle of Puebla.
I went to a restaurant today that normally takes me 20 minutes to eat. It took longer than that for me to get my order. And I go, wow. I didn't know it was a tradition. Everyone eats out on Cinco de Mayo.
Cinco de Mayo might be, of all of the faux holidays, and it is a real day in certain parts of Mexico, but of all of the days that have become drinking holidays, mainstream drink, this might be the one that the average person knows the least about.
We never celebrate this in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Well, it's like, it's sort of become, and really it was like the 80s and 90s, beer companies kind of made it into a big deal. It might be the holiday that the average person knows the least about.
Is it a national holiday now? I mean, I wonder if my...
It's not even a national holiday in all of Mexico.
I wonder if my relatives are celebrating it.
Now, kids are off school in Mexico today, but not even... Everyone isn't even off work. Unless you... The people in Puebla and Veracruz
are. Wow, that shouldn't be right, should it?
Well, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, it is, but it's not... It'd be like if we had the day off for the Battle of the Alamo. Like, it's a good time. It's a good...
I always try to take that day off.
It's a good deal, but, you know, it wasn't... You know, the end-all, be-all.
That was when the Spurs lost to the Clippers the other night. That was the Battle of the Alamo.
But if you don't know, this was the educational point of the day.
Educational. Way to go, Aubrey.
Yeah, this is the Battle of Puebla was part of the French intervention in Mexico. But the reason it's kind of important, the French intervention in Mexico, the last time any country in the Americas was invaded by a European country. So there you go. Cinco de Mayo. If you know anything else today,
wow,
you learned that. The Mexicans won at the Battle of Puebla.
I'd rather you give me facts instead of that suggested reading. So I'll take the facts.
Yeah. There's nothing. You don't have to read anything extra this time.
I like that. I'll do that.
Yeah. So now, if you didn't know, now you know. It was a big upset. It was like the 12-5 of the French intervention.
Yeah, what was the line? It was
France by a lot. The French not only had...
France by a lot.
Yeah, it was France minus 18 on the road but at the Battle of Puebla, but the home team...
You always go with the dog.
The home team got it. You know, you can never underestimate the home team.
You got points
deals.
And you're at home. What a deal.
So, yeah, there you go. Battle of Puebla, 1862 is where Cinco de Mayo got started. Also going on, I'm a little disappointed. The Astros lost last night.
I had a laugh, and I thought about you. I was kind of off yesterday, even though I was working from the house, doing a column, working some other things. So I did have the TV on a lot of times with no sound. But I had a laugh, you know, late at night. any listener of the show knows I always go on and read the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette because I'm a huge Pirate fan. And the sports editor of the Post-Gazette put on the Twitter, he goes, "I hope no Houston paper has the headline, 'Houston, we have a problem. They need to be fired.'" If it's, and I was laughing because that's very true. They don't have a problem. They just lost a game.
Yeah, it was one of those. The thing is, if you're going to get the streak broken, not to the Rangers.
Yeah, Rangers are pretty bad.
Ugh.
That throw home from center field, I could have made a better throw than that. They should have thrown that guy out.
It wasn't the best game. And then those at-bats in the bottom of the ninth were just brutal. I mean, Springer is going to be great. I have no doubt. All the experts see all the greatness he's going to achieve. But that dude, every now and then, has an at-bat that is just atrocious. And he had one of those last night.
And I had to talk to you yesterday. I can't name five Astros. I didn't realize Chad Qualls was still pitching.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they brought him in, I go, game's over.
Oh, yeah. Over the walls, Qualls is still, still going strong.
Like the first batter almost hits at 6,000 miles.
Yeah. That's Chad Qualls' legacy.
I know.
So, anyway, you can't.
Did they just bring him back this year? Or
well, he was gone. I think he came back late last year.
Oh, man.
But Qualls, it's like a tie to the past. Every time Qualls pitches, it's like you remember where you came from. It's a reminder of how far the Astros
have got to be 52.
Oh, my. And he's still giving up big hits like he always has. But anyway, had that going on last night. Was a little depressing. The other thing I thought was interesting, I was reading Tony Barnhart did a little column on his website about of the eight new defensive coordinators in the SEC, which one is under the most pressure. He picked Kevin Steele at Bama.
Oh, I mean at
LSU.
I think that's a good choice because you've got to remember, a lot of people believe that LSU is on the downswing. They're going to take a huge drop this year. Whereas you look at Auburn's the top. I was looking at some top 25s last night. Since how you pronounce the guy's name? Mark Schulenbach, whatever came out with his. And he doesn't have Oklahoma in his top.
Schlaubach.
Him too. Top 25. But everybody's got Auburn as a top 10. And the reason why is because of Will Muschamp. But they've got some talent. But everybody has LSU as a top 15. And you look at that schedule. You look at that team. And if Kevin Steele is not the real deal, I think Les Miles will be eating a lot of grass on the sidelines.
Well, I had two thoughts on that. I think I had two schools of thought here on if that's really true. Part of me says, yeah, it's probably him because the...
Oh, I think so.
The whatever you want to call it, the it's tightening at LSU. But if you pay $1.6 million to go get a defensive coordinator from a divisional rival, you better see some results on the field. So I would put Chavis up there with him.
But ain't him so bad. I don't feel any. He could come in this year, and they could go 6-6, and I still think he's okay because he's going to say it's young, it's a system. LSU's got to win right now. I mean, not just my thoughts. I agree with Barnhart on that.
Yeah, and I just go back and forth. And the reason I wanted to bring it up is the other question is, would you rather be, you know, the guy following up the guy or the guy that left to go somewhere else? Because would you rather be the one viewed as the savior of Texas A&M's defense with all that pressure that comes with it, or have to follow up that guy at the previous job?
Oh, it's all about ego in any sport, any business. If John Chavis comes in and A&M finish, they're starting out ranked by, I'm looking at all these polls, no one is A&M ranked. So if A&M gets ranked, if the defense comes up, like let's say even 75 or 80, they'll name a street. What street in College Station do you name after Chavis? I mean, that's what you think. I think you need to look at
one of the colleges.
What street do you name? So it's got to be around Northgate.
Well, that's one of them. Yeah. College Main runs right
there.
Well,
I'm just saying is, that way, if you pass out, you're an athlete, you pass out on John Chavis' streets. That way, you know, whatever. I mean, come on.
I thought it was interesting. The following up him is more stressful than his job here.
I guess my other follow-up to Aubrey would be then, who has the least pressure? And I guess it would be one of the defensive coordinators. I can't even name them one of the places. Since you read it, I didn't.
The least pressure is going to be one of the guys and one of the new coaches, whoever the DC is at Florida for example, because, I mean, Florida's going to be bad, so I don't think there's any pressure.
Everybody thinks that's going to be the case. Now, you talk about a situation where you're walking into where no pressure. I feel like it's a little bit Florida this year,
year. I almost feel like, you know, we mentioned Chavis and Steele. I almost feel like Mason has a lot of scrutiny on him because he's going, hey, I'm going to be the DC. You know, the head coach at Vandy, if you don't know, is the DC next year. Yeah, so there's a little bit of pressure there. Now, it's not as high as that, too, because it is Vandy.
Well, Mason talks a little bit. Remember, he said last year, why not us win the SEC East? Well, why not you be last in the SEC East?
They were terrible.
Yeah,
that's
exactly,
why not. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, anyway, just thought that was an interesting one.
That is an interesting one.
Let's go to break, and when we come back, let's talk about this Brandon Williams deal that Lucci reported yesterday. I think this is an interesting interesting viewpoint. I want to get people's thoughts on this. And hit us up, 229-1939. And I want to kind of break down what it says and what we really think about it, that kind of stuff, when we come back. Keep hitting us up. Sam will join us later. Talk a little hoops later on. Of course, we got Today in Aggie History still to go. Lots still to come on the show. So come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
Every doctor in every field of medicine wants to be a patient's first choice. Every health and wellness professional wants to be a patient's first choice. To make this happen, you first need a partner capable of delivering a powerful marketing message. That partner is Brazos Wellness Magazine, a local publication filled exclusively with local articles. For more information about Brazos Wellness Magazine, contact Brian Broadcasting or email sam@brianbroadcasting.com.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Something's always going on at the Tap, day or night, before, during, or after the game. The Tap is the home for all your sports watching needs. A great night out, delicious fare, and good times. Whether it's their weekday lunch special, which includes a side and a soft drink for only $6.99, to nightly entertainment like Karaoke Monday, 90s Ladies Night Tuesday, Piano Bar Wednesday, Front Porch Fridays, and more. Click on TapBCS.com and follow TapBCS on Twitter to stay on top of the latest live music dates, info, and news. The Tap, bleeding maroon since 1990.
Where do you want to go to lunch?
I'm having a stroke.
Did you hear what I said?
I'm having a stroke.
Why aren't you answering me?
I'm having a stroke.
What's up with your face?
I'm having a stroke.
That's not normal. Is something wrong?
I'm having a stroke.
Are you having an allergic reaction?
I'm having a stroke.
When someone is having a stroke, they may not be able to say it with words, but their body language will tell you loud and clear.
I'm having a stroke.
You just need to know the sudden signs. Look for FAST, F-A-S-T. F, face drooping. A, arm weakness. Or S, speech difficulty. Then T, time. Time to call 911 immediately, because the sooner they get to the hospital, the sooner they'll get treatment. And that can make a remarkable difference in their recovery. Know the sudden signs. Face, arm, speech, time. Spot a stroke fast. Visit strokeassociation.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Zone FM 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150.
Welcome back. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. All right, our good friends over at TechSax reported this yesterday that Brandon Williams is going to give it a go at corner as well as running back this upcoming season. And I want to kind of, there's a few levels to this. And sure. I want to kind of get y'all's thoughts. Hit us up, 229-1939. I'm sure they talked about it earlier. Right away, the initial reaction is A&M's horrible at corner. I mean, that's what this says.
Number one.
That's what this is going to say to everybody. I mean, this is the first thing that's going to come out. That's what the moment you say you're moving someone into a position, what that says to the outside world is, we're not very good at this position.
Nate Askew to linebacker.
Yeah, and that's the initial response. Now, that's not to say that this won't work out. Because
it's not to say it will work out
yeah,
either.
Yeah, but you know, the Nate Askew to linebacker thing was fine.
Consider who they had.
Yeah, well, and he made some plays. You know, he made more plays, had more receptions at linebacker than he did at wide receiver, I think, when he had two or three
Tommy Dorman to tight end.
Well, and then we remember the spring that Spencer Neely spent at tight end, and you see these things.
See it over and over.
And that's one of that's the first thing right away that this says is that A&M has no depth at corner, but that's not a surprise. That's the thing we already know. You know, I've heard several people reference that, you know, on Twitter, different things, that, yeah, A&M is bad at corner. I mean, we already knew that. It's not a huge shock. They don't have a lot of depth there. What depth they do have is real young and unproven, so any help they can get. The other thing is Brandon Williams is a top-flight athlete. Now, he's one of the faster guys on the team, but I do wonder how this is going to work out, Cease.
Brandon Williams, if not mistaken, Aggies were excited when he came from Oklahoma because he's going to be help so much at running back. Okay, let's be honest. How has that worked out? The last time I think I remember Brandon Williams is throwing his helmet down after fumbling at the Liberty Bowl, and we don't see him again the rest of that game. He hasn't lived up to potential at running back. So, once again, I look at a move like this, how much of it is about A&M not having cornerbacks, how much of it is trying to light a fire under Brandon Williams for his last year. Maybe he was tinkering about going to cornerback. Maybe they can go over there and show him that you can't play cornerback, or maybe he can, or maybe this will make him, you're so valuable to us, we need you at both positions, because with Trey Carson and White, you're only going to carry the ball 10 to 12 times anyway. So how much of this is trying to light a fire under Jason Carter / Brandon Williams? I'm just saying is anytime you move people, because they're not talking about, you know, you're not talking about moving a Fetty to defensive end. I mean, you know, he's too good at line. Brandon Williams is not good enough. If he was such good at running back, you wouldn't be worrying about moving him. So, once again, I'm not going to say it's not going to work, but what is a coach's job? To get the most out of every player. So Chavis and Sumlin and everybody got together and said, hey, what about going to defensive back, cornerback, because all I got to do is match up on the guy. Now, that being said is, we don't know exactly what they're going to tell us something different than what they're trying to do.
There's a lot we don't know.
Exactly.
Obviously, like with anything with Aggie football. But I just think this is an intriguing one. My initial response to this
was, he's an athlete. There's no doubt about it.
And my initial response was like, nah, I mean, this isn't really going to matter. I mean, he's a senior. So how much is he really more? I mean, it's not like running back is that complicated of a position if you've been there for 4 years, which he has been. He sat out a year, then has played 2 years, and now he's a senior.
But
at the same time, he's also this new defensive scheme. All we've heard about is that it's so much simpler for the DBs. You know, as Devontae Harris put it, you just line up in front of the guy in front of you, man to man. So on a mental side, I don't think there's a lot of learning here. Obviously, he's got all summer to learn some of the ins and outs of playing DB. But I like the experiment. Why not try it?
And then let's also remember when, quote, running backs was the day's theme during spring drills. We were supposed to talk to Brandon Williams, and Brandon Williams politely declined not to talk to us, but we did talk to Clarence
McKinney
about the run, and he talked about how this was going to be such a great year for Brandon Williams. He's ready to big breakthrough at running back, da-da-da. And I'm pretty sure, I have to go back and look at my notes, but that was pretty early in spring drills. So then I've always got to ask myself, like we all do, because we're trying to, you know, read through the tea leaves, then by the end of spring drills, he's a quarterback.
Well, he's going to play.
Or going to play some quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the
according to the report.
Right, and we'll see. This is one of those things that could just be an experiment, and it could work out or it could not work out. And as someone texted, this is his best path to the NFL. And that could be true, because simple truth is, to me anyway, and I'm not trying to belittle his talents because he's done some pretty good things since he's been here. He's not that good at running back, is what I'm trying to say. He's not going to the NFL.
If he was that good, he'd be getting 20 snaps.
Well, he's not going to the NFL as a running back.
No.
So he can try it out and see how he does. He is fast. I would imagine one of the faster guys on the team. I do wonder how he changes direction, because that's one thing we haven't seen him do a whole lot.
Now here's the deal is.
But as someone pointed out, I will say this was also, this was part of my second reaction. Like I said, my first one was, wow, Anup's terrible at corner. My second one is, why not try it out? Because they've got a lot, plenty of depth at running back. They got James White, who will play plenty this season. Obviously, Trey Carson is there. And then Jay Bradford will be in this fall.
Freshman,
and they've got him coming in as well. So they got plenty of guys at running back. And he is fast. He might as well go out there and try it. But he does make plays on special teams. He has made some tackles. He gets out there. He's not afraid to hit people. So,
but I guarantee if you're walking out there at first game, if he does play any cornerback, I assure you Arizona State's going to test him out. So but we'll see. It's like one of those deals. Nothing. You can't fail if you don't try.
Yeah.
You can't succeed if you don't try. So we all know. We'll all agree. He's a very talented athlete. And I would say he has yet to live up to his potential, whether it's at Oklahoma or A&M. So if you haven't lived up to your potential, why not try something different?
Well, and this, it's not completely unlike the Nate Askew experiment. I bet if you could go back, and someone has said this, if you could go back and ask Nate Askew now.
Do it earlier.
Well, yeah, he would have done it a lot earlier. So,
but that's why I'm also very leery of a senior changing positions because of the time factor. And it is a little bit different when you get a new coordinator.
Yeah.
Because Chavis probably looked on film and he said, "Hey, can I get that guy? Can I have that guy for a couple weeks?"
Yeah, we'll see how it works
because what does he want? He wants guys that can run and tackle. And like you said, he's good on special teams. So we don't know if Chavis initiated this when he's looking at all the tape, said, "Hey, what is this? It's number two. What's one?
Now.
I thought he was twice as good as he was. Okay, number one. But he said, hey, let me try that guy. I mean, you just never know. We don't know. We don't know exactly.
And I'm kind of with the Texans. Why not try it? You know, some of y'all have texted, Chavis likes multiple DBs, or likes the multiple DB system. Do you not think that they're trying to add depth? I think it's a smart move. B-Will makes good plays on special teams. Someone said, wasn't Brandon Williams a five-star running back? Yeah, that was a long time ago. He was a five-star running back, but that's
it was a big coup when he went to Oklahoma.
What is Steel for Stoops?
How'd that work out?
Someone said Christensen at DC and Chavis or Christensen. Anyway, but Chavis has simplified the defense. Williams has the size, speed, athleticism to bump and run. Look what Chavis did with sub-tier athletes that A&M didn't even recruit at LSU. That's a good point. And then someone else said it's a risk-free experiment that puts a freak athlete in a position of need. So someone else says, I like it. And someone else says, silver lining is that you must be deep at running back. That's a silver lining.
Thank you. That is a good silver lining. And, hey, folks, if you've been around enough spring footballs, this is what spring football's all about.
This is kind of why I'm a little surprised they didn't try it.
And
this
you
spring.
Always paint the blue horizon. There's no need to put clouds up there in the spring. There's no clouds in the spring.
And then someone said, is cornerback the easiest position to learn? I would say wide receiver is probably the easiest, but then corner would be right after
that. You take that guy. If that guy doesn't catch a ball the whole game, you are tremendous.
Yeah, at corner, you at least are worried about someone else. At receiver, you just kind of
If a guy actually runs by you, you go ahead and tackle him. You just don't take that guy the whole way and go, hey, coach, I was on my guy.
And maybe they wanted to do this in the spring but couldn't because they didn't have all the running backs. Trey Carson didn't play.
That's very true.
You got two guys.
And you had to give reps.
Like I said, I kind of like it. It's one of those deals that, do I think he's going to make all SEC at corner? No. But what you need is one or two plays. Can he make one or two plays that you weren't going to have? And that's all you need in something like this.
Here's the bottom line. Spring drills has also taught us, if you're in Vegas, the over and under is that Brandon Williams will not be a great cornerback, but that you go ahead and take the chance because he wasn't even on the board 2 weeks ago. So at least he's on the board. So
and
Vegas,
there are a few things working in his favor. We mentioned he's fast.
and A&M needs lots of help.
Yeah, he's tall. That's another thing I think helps him a little bit. You know, they've talked. Chavis does like bigger defensive backs, and he's a little more in that. He's also beefed up a little bit since last year. I was a little surprised if he's going to play defense that he's not playing safety.
Here's the deal, and I'm sure they also looked at. I always worry about lateral movement for a cornerback because the running back's always been taught don't go east and west, go straight ahead. So he's been indoctrinated.
He is the master of not going east and west.
Well,
he only goes straight ahead.
But what I'm saying is, so now you do have to go some east and west when you're covering receivers. Yeah. So your lateral movement does mean something.
Yeah. So we'll see. I thought it was a fun.
He'll make all SEC.
Yeah, well, and good for him. As someone mentioned, if he wants to go to the next level, this might be his best bet. It's not going to be a running back. He's just, like I said, he's not bad, but he's not anything special at running back. Maybe he could be a corner. Someone said safety would be too much to learn too quick. That's probably the case.
You're probably right, but because suddenly you're going to do the tight end in this,
yeah,
in this
gotta set. Read
you
got, a lot.
You got to do the slot receiver in this set. His talents combined with his experience are probably suited to safety. But in a short run, since he's just a senior,
yeah,
corner.
He's already got to play a corner.
Corner.
So what you're saying is go ahead and pencil him in for the Heisman at DB, right? The next Honey Badger?
Who goes to New York with you? Him or you or me? It's bottom line.
Oh, anyway. It did get me thinking, though. And we're going to have Sam Kahn on next.
Oh, it got you thinking. That's great.
Well, and here's what I was going to bring up, and I want y'all's texts on this. We're going to bring Kahn on. We'll talk about stuff with him, and then y'all can be sending y'all's texts in during that, and then we'll debate this later on. The question is, what other positions could you see people playing at that are at certain places now? But more than that is, I thought it'd be interesting to ask people, who do y'all think is the best all-around athlete at A&M? You know, so if you could take someone off the basketball team and throw them onto the football team, you know, who do you think would be good? I want some of y'all's theories on that. We're going to go ahead and, for the sake of conversation, take Dion Lindor out of the conversation. He's basically an Olympic runner, so we'll take him out. Obviously, it would be him. So we'll take him out of the conversation, but otherwise...
The way you started to think... I passed the car, had a great bumper sticker, which I never saw. Did you ever, the bumper sticker was, did you ever stop to think, ... then forget to restart?
We do that all the time.
I was going to say.
That's called radio,
and I'm thinking, I'm going to radio. Yeah. Radio show. How apropos is that?
That's good. That should be our slogan. but, yeah, let us know. Who do you think would be good in other sports? Who do you think could play other positions? I want to go all the wild ideas. Look, we're almost to summer. It's about time to start throwing out crazy ideas. So I want to hear all of them. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we will have Sam Kahn see what's going on with the Red Jacket, what he's up to these days. Come back with us. Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW, I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Yesterday ended a 32-year run for the Brazos County Tax Office in downtown Bryan. Tax Assessor Collector Christy Rowe says no business will be done by staff during the next 3 days as they move and train at their new location.
All of the online processes are available. Also, anyone that has not an April vehicle expiration, but if it is a May or June expiration, they still can go to the local grocery stores. All the Krogers and HEBs still do motor vehicle registrations.
Friday is the first day you can visit the new tax office located off Pendleton between Copperfield Drive and Boonville Road. An open house has been set for June 9th. Oil prices may be down, but not enough to stop exploration activities in Brazos County. Precinct 1 County Commissioner Lloyd Wasserman received no opposition to having a workshop with companies wanting to do seismic testing south and west of College Station, where there are more subdivisions compared to other rural areas of the county where testing has already been done.
As far as Precinct 1, there's so many large subdivisions, and so they don't want to go into private land. They want to use our roads to do this testing from. So this is probably, as far as I'm concerned, an important decision for us to make in the future.
That workshop was this morning at 10:30 following the commissioner's regular weekly meeting at the county administration building. The Bryan School Board has hired a new principal at Rudder High School. Benny Mays has spent the last 8 years in the Waller School District, most recently as a middle school principal. Mays becomes the second principal in the school's history following a recent departure of Hugh Pyatt. More about the new principal is on our website at WTAW.com. For more news, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
If you need an affordable Kubota tractor to get the job done, and you need it now, come see Vernon and the guys at Norman G. Tractor. At Norman G. Tractor, you'll find a huge selection and great prices on all Kubota tractors and utility vehicles. Norman G. Tractor has the new Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with 4-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot land pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Priced with a $300 factory rebate, $700 implement rebate, and a $500 cash rebate, making your price $18,895 or $247 per month. Norman G. Tractor asks you, why buy used when you can buy used with prices and payments as low as these? Norman G. Tractor is aggressively pricing all equipment bought with your new tractor. So now is the time to make the drive to Norman G. Tractor. Voted best of the Brazos since 2002. Remember to shop the internet specials too at normangtractor.com. Norman G. Tractor, located at the corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G., Texas. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor.
Green Teams welcomes the Texas A&M University Construction Science Department to its family of customers. Like many other businesses, Texas A&M's Construction Science Department uses Green Teams for interior landscaping. Green Teams also offers short-term plant rentals for events like weddings and conferences. Make your work environment more pleasant with plants. For more information about interior landscaping, call Susie Gallagher with Green Teams, 823-7551. Green Teams.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on the Zone, think of those businesses who sponsor the games of your favorite team. Businesses like Cherry Ruffino, Coldwell Banker United, Hargrove Insurance, and Atkinson Toyota in Bryan and Madisonville. Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone HD.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieland.com.
I was a fiend. Before I became a teen, I melted microphones instead of cones of ice cream. Music orientated, so when hip-hop was originated, fitted like pieces of puzzles, complicated. Cause I grab the mic and try to say yes, y'all. They try to take it and say that I'm too small. Cool, cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet. Then I jet to the lab.
Welcome back.
Without a mic to grab, so then I add all the
Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle.
Then I make another one.
Aubrey Bloom. Robert Cessna. Still want y'all's ideas on what athletes y'all would move around to other sports at A&M, positions you guys think other guys could play. We want to hear them all. Hit us up, 229-1939. But while y'all are getting those thoughts into us, season's been entirely too long. We welcome onto the show Sam Kahn.
First name, Sam.
Sam, how are you?
Sam, how are you?
Samwise the Brave.
Last name, Kahn.
Kahn.
He's Sam Kahn.
Thank you.
Sam, I am.
I want to hear more about Sam.
The roughest, toughest, he-man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Now, Sam Kahn.
Sam, it's been too long. Have you missed the jingle?
I have missed the jingle. You know, it's been a long time since I heard it, so it's kind of nice to hear it for the first time in about a couple of months.
Well, first off, since you were on the show, a little bit of, you know, you've been out traveling, you've been to Arkansas, you've been to Tulsa, I think, all these different places, but more importantly, there's a baby con. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. I'm actually holding him as we speak and hoping he stays asleep.
Now, what position does he project out at this point?
You know, he's got some long hands. So I wonder if he has a chance to be a quarterback. His fingers are very long, so I'm wondering if in about 10 years if he's going to be able to grip the football really well.
There you go. I want to get you on for a few different reasons. One, it's you know, you've been traveling around, and Arkansas is a school that a lot of people are keeping a lot of eyes on this offseason. You spent some time up there. What's going on with the Razorbacks? Is the hype train just unstoppable up there?
Yeah, they feel really good right now about where they are. You know, they finished the season so strong last year with those shutout wins over LSU and Ole Miss, and then, of course, the beatdown of Texas in the Texas Bowl. So I think right now the optimism is flowing pretty high, especially when you consider that they were the last-place team in the SEC West. But I think there's reason for optimism because that defense was really good. Certainly they lose a few key pieces, but they've got a fifth-year senior at quarterback in Brandon Allen, who was a lot better last year than he was as a sophomore. And I think they've got one of the best offensive lines in the country. I mean, they returned four starters to it. That's obviously where Brett Bielema builds his program off of. They got some good depth on the defensive line. They just got to be able to be a little bit better as a passing team. They can certainly run the ball and proved it with 2,000-yard rushers last year, but they got to be able to make teams respect them throwing the football. And that's, if they're going to take the next step and move out of the cellar in the SEC West, that's, I think, what has to happen. Brandon Allen's going to have to be able to prove that he can beat teams with his arm.
Do you get a sense up there that they think, you know, and I've been on a couple radio shows up there, and it seems like the Arkansas mentality right now is, hey, this SEC West this year, there's no real, yeah, Bama and Auburn are going to be ranked high, but when you compare them apples to apples, to line to line, what they bring back, they kind of think that everyone is about on the same level. Maybe Mississippi State's a little bit below everyone else in most people's mind, but I mean, there's a real sense I get from these people that they think the SEC West is wide open, and why not Arkansas?
I think that too, because I look at the quarterbacks returning in the West. Alabama doesn't have a returning starter. You're probably going to look at Jacob Foger starting there, but we don't know what he is. You know, Ole Miss hasn't picked a starter. I think a lot of people think it's going to be Chad Kelly. Auburn's got Jeremy Johnson, who's played really only one half of real football. And I mean, when I say real football, being against an SEC team, he played the first half against Arkansas last year. But LSU hasn't picked its quarterback out of Brandon Harris and Anthony Jennings. A&M has a returning starter who started five games with Kyle Allen. And then you've got Mississippi State, who's got Dak Prescott. And the question is Prescott's experience going to be enough to make up for the loss of a Josh Robinson, for the loss of Bernardrick McKinney, Preston Smith, guys on that defense that helped them win 10 games last year? That's the question. I don't know if that's going to be enough, but I do think it is very wide open. Certainly Alabama and Auburn are probably the most talented teams top to bottom, but with the quarterback situation, I don't think anything's given at this point.
So looking at that, Sam, if you go with Alabama and Auburn, which a lot of people are, looking at a lot of these preseason top 25 rankings, how do you pencil out the rest of the West coming out of spring drills?
I like Auburn. I really do. And I just mentioned Jeremy Johnson hasn't played a whole lot, but I like the fact that I think he's a more polished passer than Nick Marshall. So it excites me what he can do with Gus Malzahn's offense and what we can see from that attack. And then you add Will Muschamp, who, while I don't imagine it's going to be a drastic change on defense, I certainly think they're going to be a lot better just with the fact that Muschamp is there. And let's be honest, Auburn has recruited very well. So they've got talent on defense. It's just a matter of getting in the right places. I like Auburn up top. I like Alabama right after them. But like I said, I want to see Jacob Coker prove himself a little bit. And then after that, I think it gets a little muddy. I think it's a mix between Arkansas, Ole Miss, A&M, and then I think LSU and Mississippi State are on the back end. Mississippi State lost so much talent. I love Prescott, but, you know, I'm wondering what that defense is going to look like this year. And LSU, to me, they're still pretty young. Most of their best players are young guys. That they had that great recruiting class last year, and so many of those freshmen played. But, you know, a lot of those guys are going to be sophomores this year, but I'm still very questionable about their quarterback situation. A&M, I think, is kind of right a notch above out of spring ball, out of Mississippi State and LSU. I would put them in that mix with Ole Miss, Arkansas, but right in there. So I think that's kind of how I break it up. I think Alabama and Auburn at the top, Ole Miss, Arkansas, and A&M right after that, and then Mississippi State and LSU towards the bottom right now.
Today, or it might have been late yesterday on ESPN.com. Sam, your story, you sat down with Jeff Long while you're there in Arkansas, the chair of the College Football Playoff Committee. What was did you take away from that conversation? I haven't gotten to read this whole thing yet. There's a lot to unpack in here, Sam. But what did you take away from this conversation and your story about sitting down with this guy after the first year?
You know, I get the sense that there's a lot more comfort for him and for this committee going into the second year. At this time last year, we had no idea what to expect. The College Football Playoff was just an idea. I mean, certainly we knew it was coming, but no one knew how it was going to play out. There were a lot of things logistically they had to figure out. And I get the sense that they feel really good about the way it played out, the way the four teams ended up, the champion being Ohio State, because there was so much discussion about whether or not Ohio State should have been in or whether it should have been TCU or Baylor. He said the most frequent piece of feedback that he's gotten from fans, other administrators, people that he crossed paths with, is that they got it right. And, I can't argue. I think, me personally, I think they got the best four teams in there as well. But I think that was certainly eye-opening. And we talked a little bit about other things, you know, about whether he thinks divisions and conferences are necessary, which he said he feels he likes it the way it is, where, you know, especially being an SEC team, he likes his team being able to compete for a SEC West title, and that keeps fans engaged longer rather than having just all 14 teams go at it, whereas you may not be able to be in the conference race as late in the season as you would if you're in the division race and having a chance to go to Atlanta. But I get the sense that overall they're very pleased with the way it went. You are not going to see many drastic changes this year or anytime soon to the playoff, and I certainly don't think we're going to see expansion in terms of more teams anytime soon. I think they're really happy with the way things have gone, and I think they're just looking to tweak it and fine-tune it as we move forward.
Is there, this might be more your opinion than his opinion, but the only conference that seems to have an issue right now is the Big 12. Is there a sense from him on what he thinks they're going to do? I mean, we've talked about the Big 12 maybe overreacting based just on 1 year, because if the chips fall another way, they could have gotten two teams in. But is there a sense of what he thinks that league is going to do or what would be best for that league to do?
No, I think he's going to let every league do what it wants to do. I think he knows that the Big 12 is trying to – everyone knows they're trying to get the NCAA to change the rule that forces you to have 12 teams, two divisions, to have a championship game. I think the one thing I asked him, which is what I wanted to know, is in a perfect world, if you could have every conference have the same amount of conference games and either have them all have a championship game or all not have a championship game, would you like that? He's like, yeah, I would. In a perfect world, yes. But, you know, he felt like there would be more conference landscape changes needed for that to happen, you know, more teams moving around. And I don't know if that's something we want to see long term. But he also said that, you know, he likes the fact that not everybody's different. He doesn't necessarily want a homogenous group of conferences where everybody is necessarily doing the same thing. So while ideally in a perfect world, yes, it would be nice, we don't live in that kind of world, so I think he kind of likes the way it is right now as well. But he understands that everyone's going to do what's best for them, and if the NCAA says that you're going to have 12 teams and they're not going to amend the rule, then I think it's going to become clear that Big 12 is probably going to have to go get two teams because they can't allow their teams to you'd be left out because they played one fewer game than the other Power 5 schools.
Sam, before you go, I want to ask you, too, after the post-spring and, you know, last segment we talked about this Brandon Williams maybe playing corner type situation, we talked about why not Arkansas. My question for you coming out of spring, why not Texas A&M? What did you like about, you know, what you heard or saw this spring, and what is the key this summer? What does A&M need to do before the fall starts to really kind of shore up their chances for this year?
I think the biggest thing you have to do is get those linebackers healthy, because we saw a bunch of guys playing linebacker in spring ball that we're probably not going to see a ton of in the fall. You had most of your starters or projected starters, guys like Atara Lockett, Josh Walker, Sean Washington, missing some or all of spring football. They got to get those guys up to speed. They got to get them healthy. You know, John Chavis, that's his position, the specialty, and I really want to see how well they're going to do. I think the defensive line, I feel fine. I think in the secondary, they're going to be fine, even though you're moving Brandon Williams. I still think in terms of starters, they're okay at the secondary defensive line. I really want to know what the left tackle situation is going to play out to be. Is it going to be Avery Genesee? I think that's what we all think it's going to be, and Jermaine Asetti-Brain in a right tackle. But Kyle Allen's just got to get better. They've got to get the running game going. Can A&M make a run at the SEC West title? Maybe, but I think it's a year too early. I still think it's going to probably be another year. I think you would like to get Kyle on the full season of play under his belt. I think you'd like to get one season of John Chafee's defense going, because I think it's just asking too much for them to go from bottom 30 in the country to top 20. So, and that's the kind of level I think you have to play if you're going to win the SEC West. So I think they've got a chance if things break right with the schedule. I mean, they've got such an easy schedule with only three true road games on it that I think they have an opportunity if they can get some things rolling and win that opener against Arizona State. They got a chance to really make some noise. But I still think, man, there's still a few question marks I want answered before I can say A&M's going to contend for that SEC West title.
There we go. Sam, thanks for being on with us. It's been too long. We'll get you back on here again soon as we get a little bit closer to the SEC media days and then a little bit closer to the fall. And then before long, it'll be here, Sam.
I know. It never ends.
All right. Thanks for being on with us, Sam.
Thanks so much for having me.
Always good stuff. Sam Kahn of ESPN.com always has good stuff to say. And go check out his story he did with Jeff Long, the not only AD at Arkansas, but the chairman of the College Football Playoff Committee. Good stuff there.
Because when you look at it, we talked about it several times, A&M relates more to Arkansas and LSU. They're a little bit more of a rivalry. They're going to get that way. Everybody likes to play up Alabama, but Alabama – everybody plays up Alabama. Arkansas and LSU, to me, 10, 15 years down the line, getting back in the rivalry. And that's who you have to beat. We talked several times about how A&M has to beat LSU, just as they had to beat Arkansas, which when they started that renewed that series before moving the SEC, then A&M's been able to win. Well, now the focus is on Bielema. If he's going to take the next level step, he's got to beat A&M. So once again, is another reason to read him because of Arkansas and LSU ties.
There you go. We're going to break. When we come back, some of y'all texted your best athletes, guys you like to move around. We will talk about that and who would move around. Come back with us. This is Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 and the Zone FM 102.7.
Rattlers always has great specials, and May is no exception. This month, grab some healthy snacks with David Sunflower Seeds in the 5.25-ounce bag, 2 for only $2.22. In a hurry for lunch? Then mix and match a fountain drink hot dog and nachos, 2 for only $2, with your registered Rattlers reward card. And if it's been a long, tough, and hot day, after work, stop in for some great beer specials, like 18 packs of Heineken, Corona, and Dos Equis, only $19.99, and 18 packs of Bud, Miller, and Coors, only $15.99. Rattlers, friendly, clean, Texan.
At Schlitterbahn, there's so much for my family to do. We need a checklist. Miles of slides, rivers, and waves? Check. Plus, Schlitterbahn welcomes picnics and has free parking and tubes. Estimated savings of $100? Check. We also love how we can float the day away and enjoy so much family fun together. Packing our summer with amazing memories? Definitely check. Hold on to every moment at Schlitterbahn.
Get discounted tickets and plan your stay at Schlitterbahn.com.
With the spring winding down, so does the Bellucci Hour. Thursday is the last show before the summer break, which gives you the perfect opportunity to recharge your football batteries for when the Bellucci Hour returns in July. And this also allows you to enjoy the delicious Tab daily lunch specials without having those guys yapping your ear the whole time. The Bellucci Hour, but only till Thursday, so get your fill now at the Tab from noon till 1. Enjoy the last week of the show for the summer with your favorite guys and grub on the Tab's daily lunch specials. Don't miss it.
Howdy, Coach Gary Blair inviting you to a celebration dinner and auction presented by Mac Resource Computer on Thursday, May the 7th at the Expo Complex, benefiting Special Olympics and other charities. Doors open at 6 and $10 will get you dinner and drinks. Go to CoachBlairCharities.org for more. Special thanks to Mac Resource, Chili Fest, BB&T, Jack Hilliard Distributing, KBTX, and Sports Radio 1150 The Zone.
If you work for a living and think you're the best at your chosen profession, here's your chance to prove it. Nominations are now open for the 15th year of Best of the Brazos Valley. We're currently accepting nominations in over 120 categories for the best in food, services, and places in the Brazos Valley. To nominate your business or your favorite business, go to bestofthebrazos.com. Don't miss your chance to be listed on the ballot. Go to bestofthebrazos.com.
Spirit Ice Arena invites you to come join them for their annual Spring Ice Show as they bring you Lights, Camera, Skate. Come see the most talented skaters from the Brazos Valley perform selections from Anastasia, High School Musical, Little Mermaid, Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella, Singing in the Rain, Sound of Music, and more. Performances are Friday, May 15th and Saturday, May 16th, with tickets just $12. Spirit Ice Arena at 400 Holloman Drive in College Station. For more information, call Spirit Ice Arena at 693-3900 or click spiriticearena.com.
Listen to The Zone, 102.7 in Sports Radio 1150 on your smartphone, tablet, or PC. Visit RadioAggieLand.com.
Welcome back. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna. Talking about moving people around. They're on this the heels of the Brandon Williams to maybe try out some corner news. Thought we'd see what you guys thought. Other guys, other positions, other sports, other stuff like that. Someone said Myles Garrett needs to be implemented into a jumbo package on the offensive side. I will say that unless he's proven that he can't do something, I'm going to assume that Myles Garrett would be pretty good at really anything.
How about a power forward?
Well, power forward, he'd be a little short, but
I think he'd block out.
Well, I think him and then the big kid, he's not quite as big, but Rico Gathers at Baylor, I think they're a lot alike. Just powerful guys.
Clear out the lane.
Yeah, well, clear out everybody. Yeah, he could do that. He could play a little tight end, maybe. He's probably got some soft hands. I mean, he could
probably do better than Cam Clear did.
We've seen the videos of him dunking on people at the rec and stuff, so I'm sure he could do that. Someone said it was Christensen in Washington, D.C. I figured when they typed Christensen in D.C., I got confused between the new coach Christensen. Apparently, it's someone listening in D.C. named Christensen, is what we think we've got figured out here. They said they believe Schlotman played quarterback in high school at Brenham, and also believe that one of the new basketball centers played offensive line at his high school. That's true. Elijah Thomas played a little football. He actually, according to him, I don't know how official this is, but in his blog that he was doing for USA Today, said that he was actually offered a football scholarship by LSU. So maybe he could play a little bit. The one that comes to mind for me is Daniel House. I bet he could play wide receiver. He's an athlete. He's probably, to me, the best. Again, not including the track people, who that's a little bit different. But the people that play a sport, playing another sport, he's the one that sticks out to me that would be good at something else. I bet he could play.
Well, what about Speedy Noah and Christian Kirk? We haven't seen enough of them. Those guys are pretty athletic.
They are real athletic. They're also real small.
Real small.
So I wonder how well they would do at another sport.
Pat Henry might want to go ahead and take them and see what they could
say. Yeah, I bet they could run track
a little bit. If Noel could dribble, I mean, him as a point guard would be pretty fast up and down the court.
It was kind of funny. I was watching, we talked last week about the Colts taking Philip Dorsett, the kid out of Miami. Watching his highlight tapes reminded me a lot of Noel. He's a little bit quicker right now because Noel had the surgery or whatever.
Sure.
But they play a lot alike, so maybe Noel could become that kind of player down the road. But to me, it was Daniel House was the first one that came to mind. And then, like I said, Myles Garrett's one of those athletes who's just so freakish. You assume he could, even if he went on the court for 10 minutes, he could throw enough people around to make a move. He'd be a little Martellus Bennett out there on the basketball court. Back when Martellus was in football mode and trying to switch